You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
Okay, I've given you guys enough time to jump into John chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. And let me go backwards into a little bit of what I've been teaching you guys for about 5-6 years. And I know some of you guys are frustrated. You're like, Pastor, we get it. We understand tension. We understand paradox. But what I want you to understand is that our culture has pressed in us so hard and so deep for so long, we believe a lie. And I want to address this lie before we jump into scripture. And this is a cultural lie that we have in America. And in America, we believe that if we can understand something, we will be okay with it. We believe that if we understand something, we will be okay with it. Years ago, I was sitting in marriage counseling. It's one of those ones where the marriage counselor looks at you and says, I would like to meet with you one-on-one. I don't think we should meet as a couple for a while. And I realized, oh no, I need to be talked to. And so I went into the counselor and I sat with the counselor years ago. And the counselor just looked at me and just said, Nathan, can I help you out? And I was like, yes, I'm paying for this. I would really appreciate if I could receive some wisdom for the money that I'm giving you. And he said to me, he said, brighter men than you, more intelligent and powerful men have walked the earth, and they have asked a very desperate question to which there is no answer. Why did my wife do that? He looked at me and he said, Nathan, the female form on this earth is the most complicated thing that you could ever try to understand. And you will never understand her. Men remain silent. Women, can I hear an amen? Amen. You don't understand you, do you? No. But yet as men, we're looking at you trying to figure you out. Are you having a good day or are you having a bad day? My wife came into the house the other day, and I didn't know if it was good or it was bad. She made that high-pitched kind of a screechy yell, and as a man, it could be amazing, and we won the lottery, or it could be there's a meteor coming right for our house, and we're done. I didn't know which one it was. I chose fear. I chose wrong. She was excited. I don't understand my wife, and I have been with her for 20 years, and she still is amazingly complicated, and I love it. But the more I try to control her, the more I try to understand her, the more that I have my worldview of Western worldview of scientific method, that if you just do these things, you're happy and you feel comfortable and you feel safe and secure and you're not anxious. If you would just do these things with your wife, you'll be good. That counselor helped me out. That counselor said to me, Nathan, you will never figure her out. And the moment you think that you figured her out, she will change. Ladies, amen? Amen. It's pumpkin spice latte time, isn't it? I don't even know if I said that right. But you know what's coming? Peppermint mocha. Right? I thought you loved the pumpkin spice. Oh, that was so fall. It is now winter. Oh, so we're now peppermint mocha, are we? Oh, you are so late. It is now spring. We love stuff with ice in it. I what are you doing, lady? Make it simple. So if a woman is complicated, how in the world are we going to understand the Holy Spirit? If a woman is beautifully and uniquely crafted and made unique and individualistic and has beauty all throughout who she is and all of her facets are so complicated that we as men just like to stare at them. That's how complicated they are. We're like, wow. Then we take something that is huge and gigantic and amazing like God. And we try to explain it. And then we make another mistake in Western world. We try to explain God. We take something that's infinite and eternal and massive, and we try to explain it simply. Here's my blessing to you and I today. How about we let mystery come back into who God is? Amen? That counselor helped me out. He said, your wife is mysterious. That helped me out. I realized she's a mystery. Just pay attention. It's going to be fun. The Holy Spirit, mysterious. Relax. Pay attention, but have fun. Will you ever understand the fullness of who God is? No. Do you understand the arrogance of that thought for a second? That we as humans, even as me, a theologically trained pastor, has to deal with theologically arrogant idiots who are massively sinful, who are trying to describe who God is, but yet they are sinning the entire time because they are making something so massive so tiny. They are trying to take the uncontrollable and control it. And many of you guys in your own lives, you keep trying to put God in a box. And what does he do? He doesn't jump out of the box. He destroys your box. He says, you will not put me in this. And you're like, no, God, I really like if you would just fit into this. Like, if you would just do this, then you'd be amazing. And he goes, wait. I'm the master. You're the servant. You just flipped the roles, didn't you? And that's what we do. We do this. Just follow this for a second cognitively. We believe that as a created being that's not finite, that doesn't understand everything, that we can understand God. Do you see how arrogant that is? It's not just arrogant, it's ludicrous. It is incredibly idiotic that us in our tiny mind can understand the expansiveness of God. Let's relax today. Let's be blessed with a deep breath for a second and an exhale of, all right, some mystery. Let's relax with this. I felt pressure all week. I'm going to teach on the Holy Spirit for 45 minutes. I'm going to nail it. It's going to be perfect. You're going to ever have to hear another sermon on the Holy Spirit. You're like, oh my gosh, that was perfect. I'm done. No. I'm going to give you a tiny little itty bitty 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 tiny bit of who God is. And the rest of your life, you will learn more and more and more and more and more. And by the time that you go meet God in the eternal, you will maybe have learned one tiny eyedrop of the ocean's worth of how amazing God is. And I'm talking all the oceans. Do you understand how big God is? Let's let God remain big. Amen? Let's jump in together in John chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. Let's let it remain mysterious in some ways, and let's relax and draw out some truth. So let's go back to context. Jesus is having a discussion with the disciples. He's getting ready to leave this earth physically. He's getting ready to go into what will be the Passion Week, where he is arrested, he is beaten, he is mocked, he is put on a cross, he is killed, he is put in the tomb, and everybody who's following him runs for it. Except for the ladies. Again, they're mysterious. Okay? And Jesus is having a conversation with them, and he's letting them know at the very end, hey, I'm about to take off, and I'm about to leave you guys. I have been teaching you, and I have been training you for 2.5 years. And I have been walking with you, and I have been talking with you, and I have been telling you all these things, and I know you're going to forget all of them. Have you guys ever been in a conversation, you meet somebody brand new and they introduce themselves and they say their name and 3 seconds later you realize, I don't remember their name. Can you imagine being told by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the secret to ministry and he shares it with you and 3 seconds later you think, what did he say? See, God is not unaware of how unique we are. He made us. And one of the things about us is we're forgetful. And we get distracted. And so Jesus is starting to talk about, hey, I know how you were made, but we've got a plan for you. We've got a tutor that we're going to put in place to help you out. And so Jesus is talking with them. He shared with them that life is going to be difficult. He shares with them, if you follow me, it's going to be tough. Last Sunday, we talked about persecution. We talked through that whole process that if you really start to follow God, your life gets rough. And most Christians, once their life gets rough, they immediately go to pleasure. They're like, man, it was so much easier when we weren't following God. Man, our car wasn't breaking down. Our bills totally could, you know, we could pay everything. Food was good. There was no chaos in relationships and family. But the moment I decided to start giving my life to God, all hell broke loose. And some of you guys have learned that you've quit. When you jump in, all hell breaks loose. You quit, you go backwards, you wait. And then God's like, no, that's not where I want you. I want you in here. Come here. And some of you guys have learned to step into it and remain. That's where Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you to remain, to abide with him, to stay with it. But he is not going to leave you alone. So he starts talking to the disciples. He says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Jesus is saying, I didn't tell you this stuff earlier on for the last 2 years because I was present. Parents, you know this. You're about to leave the house. You're going to leave your kids at home for the first time. There's some special rules you're going to give them. Don't open the door. Don't smile at anybody. Don't answer the phone. Don't breathe air. You know what I'm saying? You start going through all these things. As a parent, stay in your room underneath the covers. Do not move. No one can come in. No one can go out. You give all these rules, don't you? Jesus is aware that we need some boundaries. He's aware that we need some help, but he's saying, I was with you. I didn't have to tell you some of this stuff. But now that I'm going to physically leave you, I want you to hear some of this stuff. He says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Now, he's going backwards. He said, I'm going to leave you. Nobody's ever asked him, where are you going? They kept asking, can we go with you? Why can't we be with you? They never asked, where are you going? Key important question. Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because I said to you, it's going to get rough, you've gotten scared. Because I said to you, following me is going to be difficult, you've pulled back. Jesus is aware of what's going along. Verse 7, nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Christian, underline this, circle this, put this in your brain, because I promise you, most of you growing up in the Christian church have not been taught this, and I'm sorry. But listen to Jesus' words. Let's pause for a moment. If Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the Word of God, he is the Word who became flesh, and if Jesus Christ, what he speaks is truth, then what he's about to say is important. Amen? He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. What? Jesus is saying to the disciples, no, it's to your advantage that I leave you. It is in your best interest as humans that I leave you. What? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Christian, get this in your mind right here and now. Jesus desperately wanted you to have the Holy Spirit, so much so that he knew he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. Has anybody in here ever been taught that? With every hand down and every head up. That's the opposite of like a closing of a sermon. You've never been taught that. You've been taught Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And Jesus said his words, no, 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 you need me to go so that the Holy Spirit can show up. So if Jesus is authoritative, if Jesus is all-knowing, if Jesus is God, then Jesus knows what you and I need, right? He says, he will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Have you ever been in a conversation with God and you want to ask all these questions? And God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't even handle tithing. Why are we going to this? You can't even handle that one verse that I gave you that says, I'm love. You don't think I'm loving. You don't think I'm a caring God. You don't think that I protect you and I make sure that the earth spins and floats and nothing. And I make sure that the sun rises every morning. And I make sure that water falls from the sky and lands on the earth and fills your rivers, your streams, and your lakes. I'm the God who calls plants out of the earth and says, get up, it's time to grow. I'm the God who says to a husband and wife, yes, you will have a child. And I am the God who says to the one, no, it's time for you to come home. Come with me. How great is this God? How powerful is this God? This God knows what you and I can handle when you and I can handle it. Amen? Some of you write in your notes, God knows what I can handle, and he knows I'm weak. So I probably shouldn't get any more, because what I'm currently dealing with, I am not doing well. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's called him a helper, and he's calling him the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all the truth. Some of you guys, you're asking Jesus for help in your prayers. You may need to change your prayer. Holy Spirit, would you please guide me in all truth? Scripture says you have not because you ask not. Maybe you're asking the wrong person for the wrong thing. Let that sit in your head. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Okay, wait, what's Jesus doing here? Jesus has been talking all through John. I don't say my own words. I only tell you what the Father tells me. So Jesus is saying, I am revealing the Father to you. I am revealing the Father to you physically, and I'm revealing the Father to you through my voice. Now watch how Jesus ties the Holy Spirit into what God the Father, God the Son, and Jesus do. He says, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus is going to speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to speak what Jesus says. Do you see the line? God the Father speaks, the Son hears it. The Son speaks what the Father says. Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hears what Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit speaks what Jesus says. We declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Powerful. Powerful. Now, some of you guys, your brains, you're going, you're like, okay, so if God says it, then Jesus says it, then the Holy Spirit says it, who's in charge? Starting to get into your Western mind again. How about an Eastern mindset? Take an Eastern mindset and say, God is one, he is whole. God speaks to himself, to tell you what he said. Yes, God spoke. Amen. But as a Westerner, scientific method person, as a Greek studied person who breaks things into places, I break it apart and I crush it and I create a problem. And here's the thing I want to show you guys. So I brought a little tripod in, and my wife and I use this tripod for a camera. But I want to share with you guys the reality of what most of us have with our theology. Now, for most of us, we understand a little bit of basic engineering, and we know that with three sticks, if you set them all together and you lean them against each other, the force that all three are doing press against each other and it can stand up. Most of you guys know this basic engineering as a triangle. And most of what we design in the world is based on triangles, because triangles are strong and triangles are amazing. Okay? But here's the problem with most Christians. Most Christians, when it comes to their spiritual lives, do not have a Trinity. They do not have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What most people have in their lives is they have Jesus. I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I got all of Jesus. And some of you guys, you try to go into the world and you try to stand your faith up. And then you come to me, Pastor, what's wrong? And I go, you got a problem. I said, you just got Jesus. And then a Christian's like, oh my gosh, Pastor, you just ruined every Christian song I've ever heard. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus said, just give him your spirit. And if you're saying, just give me Jesus, and Jesus is saying, I want to give you my spirit, then you've got a problem. You've only got Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is the stuff I want you to do, you need the Spirit. Ha-ha! And you're like, I got it. Yes, I have two now. I have Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Actually, I don't want that much Holy Spirit. Okay, I got Jesus and I got the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's a bit crazy. If you give him too much, who knows what's going to happen. I'll get there in a moment. But then we're like, oh my goodness, where's God the Father? Now let me help you out. I'm going to give you guys a big, huge kind of help out. And this isn't completely perfect, but this is something I've learned. If you struggled with your dad, if you have problems with male figures, you're going to struggle with God the Father. If you struggle with men, if you're fearful of men, if you're afraid of men, if you've had a father who abandoned you, if you have a father that abused you, if you have a father that was absent from you, you will struggle connecting to God the Father, and you will take your Trinity apart. God the Father is not trustworthy. Some of you, your mother is the one who messed with you. Your mother is the one who wasn't there. Your mother wasn't the helper. Your mother wasn't the encourager. Your mother wasn't the supporter. Your mother wasn't in the archetype of the Holy Spirit that empowers, that encourages, that believes in, that trains you up, that reminds you, which is a very feminine quality and trait. And some of you guys struggle connecting to your mom and talking to your mom. And so you struggle talking to the Holy Spirit because you don't trust the Holy Spirit. You don't feel encouraged. You don't feel loved. Got to do things on my own. I'm going to do it in my own way. But then there's others of you. You struggle with Jesus, and you struggle with Jesus because you've had friendships who've betrayed you. You've had people who've stabbed you in the back. You have friends that weren't there when you needed them. You had people that when you walked along and you tried to create relationships with and you tried to connect with, they didn't connect with you. And so when I say Jesus is your friend and he wants to walk with you, you say, I don't like friends. Friends aren't trustworthy. I can't stand Jesus. And this is your faith. This is all you have left. And you're wondering why you get so exhausted. You're wondering why you don't see the power of God moving in your life. You're wondering why you can't hear from the Father. You're wondering why Jesus isn't rescuing you and saving you. It's because you've kicked him out. My prayer is by the end of this service, this sermon, you will figure out which one you kicked out and you will apologize and you will invite it back in. You're like, no, Pastor, you only preach on the Holy Spirit. Don't you bring Jesus up and don't you bring up God the Father. Only talk about the Holy Spirit. No, I'm going to talk about God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, you want all of me. Disciples, do you want all of me? Yeah, then you want the Spirit. Sweet. Disciples, you want all of me? Yes, then you want the Father. Because if you see me, you see the Father. Disciples are like, what are you saying, Jesus? Jesus is saying, human, I'm talking bigger than you can understand. How about you trust me? And so some of us need to put back together some of these pieces, especially the Holy Spirit. Maybe you got God the Father, maybe you got Jesus, you're cool with the Old Testament, and you're good with baby Jesus, 9 ounces, and he dies on the cross, you're fun with that, you like Christmas. But the Holy Spirit, you know. And some of us were upset because in the 1600s, when they published the New King James Version, they published it and they decided to call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. That was a bad PR move. So the Holy Spirit's just going to show up at any point in time. You're like, oh. You're like, I don't want to follow Jesus, no. Oh. And you're wondering, why does the Holy Spirit hate linens? I just washed that sheet. Why is it floating in my house? Holy Spirit, get out. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? I promise you, simple answer, it's demonic. We'll deal with that on another day. Just categorize that. Bink. All right. Let's jump into the sermon. Let's jump into what Jesus is saying. I've already blown most of your minds. Jesus is saying, you need me to leave so the Holy Spirit will come. Do you know we mess up when we invite people to ask Jesus into their heart? Do you know nowhere in Scripture does it say to ask Jesus into your heart? Do you know years ago when I found that out, I felt like defrauded? I was like, oh my gosh, do you know how many people in America aren't Christians because they said the prayer wrong? God's like, Nathan, knock it off. That's not true at all. Stop it. It's a little misinformed. I get what they're trying to say. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. But by proxy, if Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are one, yes, Jesus resides in you. So does the Father. But it is the Spirit of God that is inside of the regenerate Christian. It is the power of God that is inside of you. It is the Holy Spirit that has made its place to dwell inside of your soul and to mark you as the kings. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came. He sacrificed his life. He walked on earth in flesh. He called us to the truth. He is scripture. He is pointing the direction of what we've got to do. And Jesus said, you need the Holy Spirit. Write in your notes, I need the Holy Spirit. Write that down. How much more of the Holy Spirit do you need today? More. How much more will you need tonight? More. How much more will you need on Monday? You need Monday more. Most of you guys have really bad Mondays, so you got to have a lot of the Holy Spirit on Monday. Some of you guys need to pray a prayer that I have taught you already. I taught you in the last few months. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Who is the one who's going to bless you with peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, all the fruits of the Spirit? Who's the one that's going to bless you with the fruits of the Spirit? The Spirit. I love that it's not the fruits of Jesus. But we're asking Jesus, Jesus, help me with the fruit. Jesus is like, how about you ask the Spirit? I don't like the Spirit, Jesus. I like you. You're cuddly. You have blonde hair, blue eyes. You're kind of Caucasian, even though you were in the Middle East. But I like you. Point number one, it is to our advantage to have the Holy Spirit. It is to our advantage to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to work that in your brain over and over and over and over again. It is to my advantage to have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you have been trained to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You already have inside of your brain working against you the power of God on earth through the Spirit. You already have it working against you. Who do you think taught you that? I think it was the deceiver. I think it's the liar. I think the one that doesn't want you close to God is the one keeping you from being close to God. His name is Satan, and he has an entire demonic army that wants to make sure that you are not connected into the power of God. He wants to make sure that you don't abide. And one of the ways that he makes sure that you don't abide is to make you afraid of God. You're afraid of God. And so you think it's in your best interest to stay away from him because that's what's best for you. Think of Chicago right now, how deeply seated it is to be afraid of police, to be afraid of the judicial system, to be afraid of your politicians. All that breeds is distrust. And any time that you have distrust, you have anger and violence. What part of that belief system breeds peace? What part of that belief system breeds hope? Now let's take those worldly things and push them aside and let's go back to the Spirit. What part of your spirit needs to have truth spoken into it and have lies sent away? Scripture calls them strongholds. They're belief systems that you have in your mind that you think this is the way that it is. And don't get me wrong, I've been around some people that I don't like that are all spirit-led. They're freaks. I'll say it. Okay? Here's our problem. There's two types of ways that we approach God. There are those of us who approach God with our minds because we're very intellectual and we like approaching God through academics and we like to go through these things. Can we all agree that academics can become sinful and we can walk away from God and we can absolutely lose God? Amen? John, let me hear that. Amen. Amen, John. Okay, I know that too. So one of the things when I wanted to go back to seminary, which I didn't want to, but God was like, you have to go back to seminary, was God, I don't want to lose my awe for you. Most people who go into seminary, they become very academic and they come out, and I can't even use the word publicly, but you insert a word that's not nice. But they're arrogant and they're prideful and they believe they've got it. So there's one way to relate to God, and that's through the mind. But then there's the other way. It's to relate to God through the heart and through the feelings of who we are. Listen, feelers, I already told you the mind is wrong. I'm coming for you. Feelers like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you're going to say that. I totally feel like you're just, oh, you're against me. Yes, you're human, you're flesh, I'm against you. I'm for your spirit. I want your flesh to die. And that includes your mind and your heart. But here's the problem. People who are all heartsy and feely, they get close and are like, oh, let's move through this. This is so amazing. Yeah. Oh, this is amazing. We should worship God through all communing physically with no clothes on. That makes total sense. Yeah. You guys think I'm crazy. That's what the cults do. They start, hey, let's experience it. And then they get too far and they're crazy. And then we have the intellectuals. They start studying God and they get too far and they're crazy. And I'm telling you, don't go either direction. If you're a feeler, come this way. If you're a thinker, go that way. If you're a feeler, think more. If you're a thinker, feel more. It'll help you. I've seen the Holy Spirit abused. I've seen it wrong. I've seen it absolutely ridiculous. Some of you guys have heard my testimony and my story. When I grew up, my Trinity, guys, it's wrong. Listen to this is my wrong Trinity. My Trinity was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Word. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Word. That's God, Jesus, and the Bible. Which piece am I missing? The Holy Spirit. I didn't have a Trinity. But what I saw people do with the Holy Spirit, I saw massive and rampant abuse. I walked into a church and they're like, do you speak in tongues? I was like, no, but I like to make out with girls. Does that count? I'm a pastor's kid. You can say anything in a church. You don't care. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. Someone get holy water. We'll heal this guy. I was like, yeah, the holy water doesn't work. You got it out of the fountain. You just said, God bless it. That's fine. Okay. Knock it off. Now bring me wine. We'll talk. Now, okay. It's a Baptist church. There was no wine. It was all apple juice. What I want you guys to understand is that I've seen people abuse the gifts of the Spirit, and I've seen people pretend that they're being led by the Holy Spirit, and it's not the Holy Spirit. What I want you guys to understand is don't throw out the Holy Spirit because there's people who are stupid. Jesus said, it is in your best interest to have the Holy Spirit. If I was in charge of Satan's demonic crew and we were all meeting together and we had a strategy to make sure that Christians wouldn't be useful and the church wouldn't move forward, I would want to make sure the power would be out of the church. If I didn't want a building to function, I'd shut off the electricity to it. And then I'd shut off the water. Many of you as Christians are functioning shut off. Or maybe you have a very weak amount of electricity coming in. And what I want to encourage you is, yes, people have abused it. Yes, people have used it wrong. But that does not mean that you shouldn't use it. There are people who are going to use alcohol wrong this week. Does that mean that alcohol is bad? No. There are people who are going to misuse prescription drugs. Does that mean that prescription drugs are wrong? No. There's going to be somebody who flies an airplane wrong. Should we stop flying in airplanes? No. There was a phrase when I was a kid that I didn't understand was, don't throw the baby out with the... What does that mean? What that means is yeah, the bathwater is dirty, but there's something precious inside of it. Don't toss it just because you see that it's frustrating. So point number one, it's to your and my advantage to have the Holy Spirit. And if I can break into your brains and I can break into your strongholds, it's to your and my advantage that we have the Holy Spirit. And we can start believing that as a truth. We've got a shot. Point number two, the actions of the Spirit are important for us to understand. So this is the whole point. Point number two, the Spirit convicts of sin and of righteousness. The Spirit says humans in human flesh are sinful. Jesus is the one that's righteous. You have sinful flesh. You need Jesus. Jesus is the one through substitutionary atonement. He will take your place. He will take on your sin. He will pay the price of your mistakes. And he will stand between you and God at judgment. That's where you need Jesus. He's the one who's righteous. You are not righteous. The Holy Spirit will keep telling you that. The Holy Spirit will say, your flesh is worthless. You can't do it. God is calling you into something that he wants to use his glory and his majesty and his power through you, which means you need the Holy Spirit in you and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Some of you, listen very clearly. You are a Christian. You are going to heaven. You will be in eternity. You are going to be with God forever. The question, though, is can you start the party today? How about you start the party now? Some of you guys, you're football fans. You know that a tailgating, a bunch of people show up hours before the game. They hang out in the parking lot. They start the party before the party begins. How about we tailgate Jesus? How many of us should start tailgating heaven? Okay? I vote that Marlon and David cook. The actions of the Spirit convict sin and righteousness. The actions of the Spirit is he will guide you in all truth. Some of you guys, you're believing lies. You need to start believing what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You need to start believing truth. And it hurts. It's painful. It's difficult. Once the Holy Spirit shows up and wants to reveal a truth to you, you and I are so prideful, we don't want to deal with it. Some of you guys, you're already shutting off while I'm teaching. You're like, no, just give me Jesus. Jesus, take the wheel. Stop talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying to you right now, I want the Holy Spirit to take the wheel. That's why I left. I left you the Holy Spirit. Use what I gave you. But Jesus, if you'll just return, it's not time yet. And oh, by the way, when I was there, you guys were messing with time as it was, and I kept telling you no then when I was physically there. What do you think would happen if I came back physically before? I would still be telling you no. Use the Holy Spirit. Use what I gave you. He relays God's instructions. The Holy Spirit relays God's instructions. Some of you guys say, well, how do we know that the Bible is true? Number one, if you were ever going to try to create a cult that was going to grow, most of the stuff that was inside this book, you would never put in there. Probably about 80% of it you would cut out. Some of the honesty, some of the realism, some of the true stories, everything gone wrong, religion not working, not following God, just dumb people all over the place, you would not put that in. That's one of the reasons why I know Scripture is real. Scripture tells me that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he breathed through the prophets and through he breathed through the writers of the New Testament to be able to communicate what God's words are. Powerful. God is speaking. He spoke in Scripture. Now, I know some people who come to me, well, then God spoke in Scripture. The Holy Spirit's done. He's now mute. He doesn't have to talk anymore because all the Scripture was written. Now, for a while, I believe that. That's called cessationist. The concept and the idea theologically is that God's power has ceased. He needed it for the period of time until the Bible was completely put together and canonized. And once they canonized the Bible, then the Holy Spirit was like, I'm done. Let me ask you a question. If you go back into what Jesus said, do you still feel like people need to be convicted of sin? Yeah, I don't think the Holy Spirit's job is done. Do you feel like we still need some truth? I don't think the Holy Spirit's job is done. So, one of the things that happened to me as a Christian was I thought, ah, well, okay, Holy Spirit, it's kind of cool, until I met the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something right here and right now. My personal experience is when you run into a powerful, awesome, holy, righteous God, you are not like, yeah, this feels comfortable. No, in your flesh, which is sinful, in your flesh, which is unrighteous, when a holy and righteous God shows up, you bow and you cower. It's why in Scripture, whenever God shows up, he says, don't be afraid. Do you know why? Because we're afraid. Holy Spirit shows up, scared the tar out of me. Do you know what my statement was? You're real. Apparently you haven't ceased. Do you know that you've ceased? Do you know that you're breaking the rules? Humans said that you stopped moving. Holy Spirit was just like, I've read some of the things they've written. I've heard some of the things that they've said. Sadly, they've misspoken. Now, you have to take my testimony until you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will not know and you will not understand until you experience it. Think of some of the best food that you've ever had at one of the best restaurants and you try to communicate to somebody else how good that food was. What's the only way that they can truly understand how good that food was? It's for them to what? For them to eat it. So stop telling me how good those restaurants are, guys. Take me there. Amen. Amen. You guys are like, dang, that was funny. He just dropped humor and tension to make it all relax for a moment so we can go even deeper. Yeah, you guys are learning the teaching style. Here we go. Guides us in all truth, relays God's instruction, and the Spirit glorifies Jesus. This is huge. The Spirit glorifies Jesus. Circle that, highlight that, block that out. If you ever want to know if the Holy Spirit is moving, if you ever want to know if the Holy Spirit is present, you have to ask a simple question. What's being glorified? Ask that question. What's being glorified? I'll dive into that a little bit more in a second. Point number three. Number one, it's to your advantage to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it, so I believe it. Two, this is what the Spirit does. Yes, there's other passages that expand it even more. We don't have time. Maybe one day we'll get there, but not. We're going to stay right here in this passage and talk about what he's saying. Point number three is God is still speaking. Look at verses 13 and 15. God is still speaking. He speaks through Scripture. He speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks through a person who prepares all weeks and prays and gets ready to come up here and says, oh, dear God, have something better to say than what I plan to say. He speaks through you when you're praying and you're asking God and you slow down and you meditate and you listen. The Holy Spirit speaks. The problem for most of us is we can't discern the difference between our stomach being hungry and the Holy Spirit speaking. It's because you're not trained. Now, I want some moms in here to laugh with me for a moment. You guys have some little kids that speak gibberish. And you as mothers are trained. Your kid will run in. She'll be, no, I'm just going to go in. And as a mom, you will turn and you will look at them and you will say, no, it's not time for us to watch CNN. There's never good news on that. They'll go, and you'll look at them and you'll go, that's true. But we needed to give your bicycle to that child. He needed it more than you. Now, I'm sitting there. What in the who? That's not what they said. It was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. But you knew it. And the kid was like, that's true. Totally communicating what's going on. Some of you guys are out of practice spiritually hearing the voice of God. And you've got to get it back into practice. You know what else you need to do? You need to get rid of your pride. Sometimes Holly's hanging out with me. We're at Bible study, or even Jordan. Sometimes Jordan comes running in the room, and Jody. And Jordan has this really tiny, sweet voice. Sometimes Marlon, I know. But she comes in, and she's and Jody's like, no, we'll have to wait till 4. And I'm looking at Jody like, what? And Jody's like, oh, she was just asking. And I'm like, oh, some of you guys need to get over your pride. And when the Spirit speaks, you need to realize there's some people who understand them a whole lot better than you. You need to walk over to them and go, what did you hear? Because I heard we should get a sandwich. God, no, that's not what God is saying. God is saying you need to lose weight. Oh, that was my flesh speaking, huh? Yeah. Okay. Some of you guys need to get around other people who are hearing the Spirit of God. That's why we meet together as a church. Not just one person. We don't have an omen. We don't have an oracle inside of this church. We don't have some lady who walks in some crazy garb, and she's got bones all over her body, and she comes and she goes, we don't have that in our church. And if we do, somebody tell me, because we need to stop that. Okay? Everybody in this church working together to discern what God is up to. Imagine your whole body, your physical body, working for one purpose, to walk to the L. How beautiful that could be. Can you imagine if 5 parts of your body decided to give up and just quit? We're not going. That would be a weird person walking on the streets. Now, some of you guys have seen them this week, okay? But I digress. Point number 4, the power of the Holy Spirit gives glory to God, not self. One of the ways that I have learned as a pastor's kid is to realize when we turn the lights down and there's a really cool song and everybody's like, oh my gosh, the Spirit of God was totally moving. It was totally amazing. No, you were insanely emotional and you liked that song. It connected with you. Let me tell you something right now. If the Spirit of God drops into this room, you're going to be pushing chairs out of the room screaming, get me out of here. I won't let you out because I'll be running out in front of you. You guys following what I'm trying to say? Jesus Christ himself walks through that wall right here into this room. How do you guys respond? You lose your mind. Someone would get upset with me. Oh my gosh, Pastor Nathan, letting God show up in church. That's not okay. Holy Spirit drops into this room. The Holy Spirit will make you uncomfortable. Why? Because a righteous, beautiful, pure God has come and is looking right at an unrighteous, flawed, sinful human. Guys, hear what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to set you guys up. What happens is a lot of times people use the Holy Spirit to puff themselves up, to make themselves look better, to give themselves glory, to make themselves more important. Okay, let's just start right now in the test. If point number four was the power of the Holy Spirit gives glory to God, not self, if somebody is giving glory to self because of what God has done, what can you discern simply? That was not the Holy Spirit. If somebody walks into this room and they start to use their spiritual gifts so that they can have attention, so they can be seen as super spiritual inside of our church, do you really think that's the work of the Holy Spirit? No. That's the work of the flesh, and that is the work of the demonic. So what we decide as Christians in America is fine. I don't really want to be fleshly and demonic, and I don't want to be afraid. So how about we just don't let the Holy Spirit do anything? Do you see that's where we're at? Do you see? I've built this whole sermon to walk you all the way through the process for you to realize that you have chosen to sit in neutral land, and you are not somebody who's making mistakes, and you're not somebody that the Holy Spirit is actually using. You're just kind of there. Now, let's deal with the truth. Well, Nathan, if I let the Holy Spirit use me, who knows what he's going to do? Oh, control. Now, praise God, no one in this church struggles with control. We have all handled it very well, and we have beat the tar out of it. We have locked it up. We have put it in the cage, and we have told it cannot come out because we're in control. Right? Real church, amen? When you say amen, sometimes you don't want it. It's like, amen. Amen. I feel like he's controlling me. He said, say amen, so I have to repeat it. I don't want to say amen because he said it, even though it's true. I don't want to agree. I don't struggle with control. Don't tell me what to do. He's manipulative. I should tell him later not to do that to me so I can control him. Yeah, okay, fair. The power of the Holy Spirit gives glory to God, not self. Now, here's our application. It's going to be a little bit long. Don't put your notes away. I know you guys normally like, oh, when he goes to application, three more sentences and songs, we're done. No, application. I'm going to spend some time here. Application. Slow down and create a space for the Holy Spirit. Most of you, first of all, once you recognize you don't have him, ask. We're going to do that in a little bit. Holy Spirit, oops. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel shame. Don't be upset at yourself. Don't go, oh my gosh, I've been living out the Holy Spirit for so long. I need to beat myself up for 6 more years before I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to use me. No. No. Just stop for a moment and go, oops. And simply just say, well, if Jesus says, and I'm cool with Jesus, if Jesus says I need the Spirit, then that's what I want. So just start there. Okay? So the first thing is we've got to slow down and create space for the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do we do that? The first thing that we have to realize is that we miss ministry because we're hurried. We are the most hurried people on the face of the earth, and in the next 10 to 15 years, we're only going to get faster. In the next 10 to 15 years, we're all going to be on Prozac, okay? And we're all going to be anxious, and we're all going to be stressed out because we're going to go, 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 go. And there was a term a long time ago when I was a kid. It was, finish this if you know it, burning the candle on both ends. We don't do that anymore. Do you know why? There's no candle. We already burnt it. We burnt the whole candle. There is no candle, Nathan. We don't burn it on both ends. It's gone. It's been gone for years. We wonder why we're angry, and we wonder why we're short-tempered, and we're wondering why we're so aggravated and anxious and frustrated. It's because we don't slow down. Okay? Don't miss ministry because you're hurried. A was in seminary. They were messing with some seminary students, which is great, and I love it. So they got some seminary students, and they made them study a story on the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan story is there's a person who's hurt, and there's people who walk by, and they talked, and they had them study, and they gave to these seminary students that they had to preach a sermon on the Good Samaritan. And what they did in the study was is they got this person, an actor, to dress up as a beaten homeless man in an alley, and they made the students walk by the beaten homeless person to get to a place where they had to preach the sermon on how to care for those who are injured. It's so messed up. So messed up. Just sit there. Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, thank God it's not me. So they went to the students, and some of the students, they held them in a room, and they had to go to another room, and they had to teach it to a group of people, and it was for a grade. And some of the students, as they were leaving the room, they said, actually, you know what? We're sending you out about 10 minutes early. You've got plenty of time to get there. Take your time. Just make sure you get there by this time and then teach your lesson. To another group of students, when they were getting ready to walk out the door, they looked at them and said, you're late. You need to be teaching in 1 minute. Get there now. And as the students went across campus and they went across this person who was beaten and injured and moaning and hurting, and they had been studying how to love on people and how to care for people, what do you think happened? The people who had a task and the people who had something that they had to get to absolutely ignored it because they had somewhere they had to be. A higher percentage, 63% of the students who were told, take your time, you can get there, they stopped to care for the person who was hurt. 63%. Some of you guys are thinking, dang, that's low. I'm thinking, dang, that's high. Okay? Sometimes we're so busy, sometimes. A lot of the times we're so busy and we're so scheduled and we have so many things to do that if a ministry God moment shows up, you won't stay. Don't miss ministry because you're hurried. Write your plans in pencil. Stop putting it in a pen. James, we've studied this as a Bible study. Perhaps if the Lord is with us, we'll stay for a while and we'll sell some things. But let us not be arrogant and say what we're going to do and what we're going to accomplish, because that means we're in control of our lives. How about we let God be in control of our lives? Have margin to respond to the Holy Spirit. So I don't just want the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't walk away from this and think, oh, I prayed the prayer. I asked the Holy Spirit to come back. We're good. That's not the goal. The goal is the power of the Spirit of God would be infectious and working through you and helping your marriage and helping your parenting and helping you stay employed and helping you reach out to your community and to love on people and to notice when it's a God moment and invite people into knowing who Jesus is. That's the power of God. Some of you guys need to be in a moment where you need to pray for healing over somebody, and you're like, where's Pastor Nathan? We got to get him. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I don't want Pastor Nathan. I want you. I want to show you who I am. I want the power of God to move through you. Pastor Nathan's already had it. How about you? So how can you have margin to respond to the Holy Spirit? Oh gosh, you guys are going to hate this list. Okay? Cut down work. Some of you guys work too much, work way too much, work way too much. One of the things that I discovered years ago was no matter how hard I worked, when I got back the next day, there was more work. I never showed up at work and they were like, no, we're out. I used to have to work massive before I could go on vacation, so I worked massively and I exhausted myself and I drove myself into the ground so I could be an absolute jerk to my family for 6 days and ruin all of the vacation time that I had and waste money on relaxation while I was tense and struggled and angry and burdened. Some of you guys know this, you do it. And then finally, 2 days before it's time to come back from vacation, I stress out because now I gotta get ready to go back into work again. There's like 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes, 3 seconds where I'm like, you know what I'm saying? What a waste of money. Work will always be there. Somebody say back to me, work is always there. Say it, you hate me, I know it, go for it. Real church, we're dealing with this. Workaholics, there will always be work. Do you know why? Go back to Genesis, it was the curse. You're not gonna end the curse. You're so powerful, man, I'm gonna get all the work done. Woo! Take that, Jesus. it's not going to work. Cut down on play. Oh, whoa, I was cool with Jesus cutting down on work. But you're saying cut down on play? Who preaches that? Some of you guys play way too much. Way too much. Some of you guys think what I'm talking about is you think I'm talking about recess. No, some of you guys play boss. Some of you guys play in control. Some of you guys play in charge. Some of you guys play house. Stop. Stop. Cut back. Create margin and space for things to start happening inside of your life. Some of you guys, you play too many video games. Some of you guys don't play enough. Some of you guys watch too much TV. Some of you guys don't watch enough. You're like, Pastor, which is it? Yes. Tension. It's like, he just keeps saying that forever. I don't know which one you are. And the one that you don't want to be, you're going to argue with me later on. Okay? Cut down on pleasure. No, you don't deserve a bowl of ice cream. No, you didn't earn it. You did not run 4 miles. You were not chased today. Okay? You do not deserve another piece of cake. You do not deserve it. It is not owed to you. You do not deserve another steak. You guys get what I'm trying to say? Whatever your pleasure issue is, you want more and more and more and more. And if you're seeking pleasure, when the Holy Spirit shows up, that's usually not where he's going to take you. He's going to take you into sacrifice. He's going to take you into trust. He's going to take you into a place where you have to rely deeply on him. And as humans, we don't find that pleasurable. Cut back on pleasure. Increase rest. You're like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. Do you guys know what the average amount of sleep that Americans get now? Anybody have any idea? Throw out a number. 1 hour. No, I'm joking. Okay? Six. It's about six. Okay? To my medical professionals in this room or anybody who's taken a psychology class or a formation class for humans, how much rest do we really need per night? I'm not saying what you think optimal is and how you can function. I'm saying how much rest do humans need per night? Anybody? 8 to 10 hours. 8 to 10 hours. Okay? Moms, how much rest do tiny children need? 23 and a half hours. Amen? Can I get an amen? It's not scientifically proven, but I just feel like that's right. Okay? Do we get enough rest? Some of you guys are going to have enough energy to say no. Do we get enough sleep? When was the last time you took a cool nap? When was the last time you took a nap and your spouse or your friend woke you up and lectured you because you took a nap? Do you see how we don't help each other? Oh my gosh, you are being so lazy. It's the Sabbath I'm supposed to. That's what God said. I'm not supposed to do anything today. Right, but are you not doing anything by not doing it? Stop your checklist. Okay? Increase silence. Some of you guys, you ruin beautiful moments by talking. I know what you're thinking. He's being silent right now. He's forcing us to actually practice it. I hate this guy. Last Sunday I come. Hopefully next week Nick preaches or Tani. At least there's music. Get some silence. Some of you guys are going to hate this next one. Increase boredom. Increase boredom. Most spiritual disciplines that have been passed down through the history and the ages of Christians involve boredom. Creating massive amounts of space for God to show up. That if he showed up and he spoke, you could hear. Do you realize that most of us don't want God to show up and we don't want to hear? That's why we're so noisy. Increase boredom. Sit down and see how long you can do nothing. And once you get to 10 seconds and you're ready just to end your life, you're like, oh my gosh, that was 10 seconds. Worst thing I've ever done in my life. Give yourself a break of about 6 hours and then see if you can go 11 seconds. And start to build into your life some boredom. This is what I want you guys to know. They've learned this. 30 minutes of meditation, of sitting and doing nothing, is amazing for the human body. Now, I'm going to giggle for a moment. Some of you guys are going, Pastor Nathan, you should never talk on this. I don't have any proof of this, but I've done acupuncture. This is what I realized why acupuncture is so amazing. I laid down on a table for 30 minutes. Actually, it was like 45 minutes. I had needles stuck in my body in every area, and I thought, don't move, don't move, you'll poke your brain. Don't move, you'll poke your brain. And I just laid there, and I didn't move for 30 minutes. And I got up, and I was so refreshed. It was amazing. Do you know why I was refreshed? I didn't move. Save yourself $95. Lay on your floor for 30 minutes. Pretend you have needles stuck in your head and tell yourself, I can't move. I'll poke my brain. 30 minutes later, stand up refreshed. You're welcome. That's free. Next one. Chew your food. Chew your food. Enjoy it. When was the last time you slowed down and chewed your food? Now, I'm going to confess to you guys, I knew this was on the sermon. I knew this was coming. I'm horrible at this. I've got to eat quickly. There's things to go do. Do you know that there are certain enzymes and acids that are only inside of your mouth that are the parts that break down different parts of our food? You can take all the probiotics you want, but if you don't chew your food and let it crush and macerate it and break it down and you set it into your digestive tract early, do you realize you cause yourself problems? You're like, Pastor, just talk about spiritual things. Don't talk about nutrition. We don't love you for that. Don't do that. You have crossed the line. Now you're talking about food. I don't like you. Notice how fast you eat lunch today. Notice as a parent, when you turn to your kid and say, hurry up and eat that, we've got to go, that you create inside of them a spiritual discipline to not be able to be connected to the Holy Spirit. You are training your kids. You are training your spouse. You are training your roommates. You are training your friends to be hurried. I know you guys are thinking, but Pastor, there's all these verses that say, be hurried, for it is blessed. Actually, I think there's massive amounts of verses that say the opposite. Amen? Chew your food and enjoy it. So today, I bless you for having a long lunch. Some of you guys are already, but we can't. We have plans at 2. Actually, start stopping that. Okay? Slow down, enjoy your food. Have a good conversation. Have a good drink. Have a good dance. Have a great laugh. Hold hands. Have a moment where you spend connecting with people because you're present. Don't we all struggle with being present? I do. I struggle being present. Okay, I'm going to invite the entirety of the worship team, just Darren, to come up. I don't want anybody else to come up. I'm being very demanding today. The rest of the worship team, you remain seated. That's just fun, isn't it? Look at me having a good laugh right in the middle of the sermon. Nobody else is laughing. They're all stressed out. They're like, I got to calm down. This is terrible. I was reading a book, Wild Goose Chase, by Mark Batterson. This is the quote. Spontaneity is an underappreciated dimension of spirituality. In fact, spiritual maturity has less to do with long-range visions than it does with moment-by-moment sensitivity to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody experienced that? So there's a reality and a truth that we know is true, but we live in a way that's not lined up with reality. And it is in our moment-by-moment sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that turns life into an everyday adventure. I invite you guys to stand up. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to take us on an adventure. Amen? Let's admit, I'm scared. Let's admit, control freaks, I don't think I'll like where you're going to take me. How about be spontaneous with God? Amen? Some of you guys are loving this sermon. You're like, it's about time. Just stay quiet. You might get beat up. Okay? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, On behalf of our church, on behalf of me, on behalf of Christians, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we've ignored you. I'm sorry that we've pushed you aside. I'm sorry that we're afraid of you, so we don't do anything with you. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, please forgive me. Please forgive our church. Holy Spirit, would you please come? Holy Spirit, would you please fill us up? Holy Spirit, would you please bless us with spiritual, supernatural energy so we can deal with, God, what we're dealing with? Lord, we've tried it in our own power. We've tried it in our own strength. We've tried it in our own intellect, and we have not solved it. So may we confess to you, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, bless us with your truth. Lead us towards you, towards Jesus, towards the Father, so that you may receive all glory, honor, and praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.